Now, gravity, of course, has an effect on the pressure in the fluid. If you go down into the oceans, we know that the pressure will go up, and that is the result of gravity. And I would like to derive the pressure increase. Let this be the direction of increasing y, and I choose a liquid element, so this is in the liquid itself. I can choose it in any shape that I want to. I just take a nice horizontal slab, and this is area A, so the bottom is also A. And let this be at height y plus delta y, and this is at height y. And the pressure here is py plus delta y, and the pressure here is p of y. And this object has a mass delta m, and the liquid has a density rho, which could be a function of y. We will leave that open for now. And so this mass, the mass that I have here, is the volume times the density, and the volume is A, this area, times delta y, and then times the density, which may be a function of y. So if now I put in all the forces at work here, there is gravity, which is delta m times g in this direction. Then I have a force upwards due to the pressure of the fluid. That's what we want to evaluate. It's always perpendicular to the surfaces. We talked about that earlier. So in this side, it comes in like this, and here it comes in like this, the force. From the bottom, it comes in like this. And from the top, I call this F2. I only consider the vertical direction because all forces in the horizontal plane will cancel for obvious reasons. So now there has to be equilibrium. This fluid element is not going anywhere. It's just sitting still in the fluid. And so I now have that F1, which is in this direction, minus F2, minus delta m, g, must be zero. Only then is the fluid element in static equilibrium. But F1 is this pressure times the area. So that is P at level y times the area. And F2 is P at level y plus delta y times the area, minus delta m is A delta y times rho, so I get minus A times delta y, which could be a function, rho could be a function of y times g, and that equals zero. Notice I lose my area. I'm going to rearrange this slightly and divide by delta y, and so I get that P at the level y plus delta y minus the pressure at level y divided by delta y equals, if I switch that around, so I bring this to the other side, equals minus rho y times g. And if I take the limiting case of this, for delta y goes to zero, then we would call this dp dy. And this tells you that when you go to increasing values of y, that the pressure will go down. It's a minus sign. Very natural. If you go with decreasing values of y, then the pressure will go up. And we call this hydrostatic pressure. Hydrostatic pressure. So it's due to the fact that there is gravity. Without gravity, there is no hydrostatic pressure. Now, most fluids, most liquids, are practically incompressible. In other words, the density of the liquid cannot really change. And so, therefore, you could remove this and simply always use the same density. It's exceedingly difficult. It takes horrendous forces and pressures to change the density of a liquid, unlike that of a gas. A gas is compressible, and you can very easily change the density of gas. So liquid is incompressible if I have here a piston and I have here a liquid, and I put a force on here, it would be impossible for me to make that volume smaller, even by a fraction of a percent. It would be impossible. If this, however, were gas, then it would be very easy for me to push that in and to change the volume, make the small volume smaller, and thereby make the density of the gas go up. If I took a slash hammer and I would hit a plastic pillow, just bang, and the pillow was filled with air, it acts like a cushion, and I could squeeze it. If I hit the slash hammer on the marble floor, I could not squeeze it, and the force on the marble floor and on the hammer would be way higher because I don't have this cushion action. If I take a paint can, and we have one here, we have two, and this paint can is filled to the brim with water, and another one is filled with air, and I hit it with a slash hammer, then this acts like a cushion. This one, however, doesn't want the volume to be decreased, so the force, like on the marble floor, will be way higher. But remember that force divided by area is pressure, and according to Pascal, that pressure propagates undiminished in the whole fluid. And so if I would shoot a bullet through here, then I get a huge force, extremely small area of the bullet, and so the pressure inside the liquid would go up enormously, and the can might explode, provided that it's really filled to the brim with water, because if there is air left, then you have this cushion action. Now, I don't remember whether there's air in here or whether there's air in there. I leave you to decide. So we'll fire a bullet from this side, and then we'll see which can explodes and which does not. And the one that doesn't is the one that has air in it, and the one that explodes has the water in it, provided that we really filled it to the brim. Oh, boy. Still something in there. Okay. I did something wrong, but that's okay. All right. There goes the bullet. Okay, we're ready for this? So you tell me which can is filled with air and which can is filled with water. 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay. This one is closed, has a nice hole here and a nice hole there. And this one has a hole here and a hole there, but you saw the top come off. So we know which one had water in it. And by the way, still there. These things are not so intuitive.